The 2022 college football season comes to a close as Georgia repeats as national champion with a 65-7 beatdown against TCU, and the FCS season finishes with South Dakota State winning their first ever national championship against cross-state rival North Dakota State. We're going to break it all down in our season one finale episode of the Ultimate College Football Podcast. Welcome to the Ultimate College Football Podcast, providing national coverage of America's greatest sport. Look for new episodes every Sunday and Thursday through the college football season. Remember to subscribe and review or rate the show wherever you get your podcast. If you'd like to contact the show, please reach us by email at ultimatecfbpod@gmail.com or by Twitter at @CFB_ultimate. Welcome to our national championship game recap episode, as we're going to take a look at the college football playoff national championship game between Georgia and TCU, and then the FCS championship as South Dakota State defeats North Dakota State. We're going to begin at the FBS level as Georgia dominated TCU in the most lopsided bowl game of all time. Not just the most lopsided national championship game of all time, but the most lopsided bowl game in the history of college football. This one was over basically from the very beginning, and it isn't overly difficult to figure out. Georgia, they were just flatly the better team. They were bigger, stronger, faster, more physical. And if you remember in our preview episode, we were saying that if TCU had a chance in this game, they had to hold up physically. And Georgia, pretty clearly on both sides of the ball, had a pretty significant advantage. They were the much more physical football team. Georgia's offensive line really controlled the game, especially as the game wore on. And Georgia defensively was able to get some pressure on Max Duggan, made him throw some bad passes, helped force some incompletions when there were some actual plays down the field with some of TCU's wide receivers. And I thought Georgia did a really good job defensively of keeping their containment. Max Duggan was not able to scramble or extend plays. That pocket would close in and collapse on him. That's something that's very difficult to do, but Georgia, they were very masterful, and they even at times would keep some spies in front of Duggan in the middle, so as the pressure is coming on the outside, Duggan isn't able to really step up in the pocket. So a really good game plan, and that's, I think, something that really stood out, besides the fact that Georgia was just a much more talented team. Kirby Smart and his staff had a great game plan, and this team was ready to play. And in many ways, I think the Peach Bowl near upset by Ohio State kind of woke this Georgia team up. Georgia did not play particularly good against Ohio State. They were reeling for a lot of that game, and I think Georgia and their coaching staff used this as an opportunity to get their team to really focus and prepare well for TCU in the national championship game. You heard it right after Georgia won the national, after they beat Ohio State, Kirby Smart said that we have to play a lot better if we're going to beat TCU. I'm not sure that is necessarily true, but you saw in the national championship game from the opening play, this Georgia team, they were locked in, they were ready to go, and even on the sideline before the game, when they were interviewing Kirby Smart, his answer was very concise when he talked about what his team needed to do to win. He said, we're going to hunt tonight. They were the aggressors, and in many ways, I think TCU was kind of unprepared for what they saw in Georgia. TCU, very early in the game, they got on their heels. They were kind of tentative, it seemed like. Georgia, they were the more aggressive, confident team. They came out blazing both offensively and defensively. And if you heard Kirby Smart's pregame speech in the locker room, which went viral on social media after the game, I think that gives a really good insight just into the mentality of the Georgia football team. There's a reason why they are now the preeminent program in college football, and why in two seasons they've only lost one game, and they are now the repeat national champion, Georgia winning their third national championship in program history, and being only the 13th team in the history of college football to repeat as national champions. Remember, the national championship was first awarded in 1936, so sometime after college football had started as a sport back in 1869. But that is something that is very rare. Georgia, they join that elite group, and I'm, of course, counting championships awarded by the AP and coaches poll, in addition, of course, to the BCS and the college football playoff, because those are the universally accepted national champion selectors at the FBS level of college football or NCAA football. So a very elite group this Georgia team has joined. But going back to the game, I really like the game plan this team had offensively. Offensive coordinator Todd Monken has done a tremendous job since taking over the play calling duties at Georgia, and he is a big reason why Georgia under Kirby Smart went from being a good to elite program, or I should say good to great program, to an elite program. He has really improved their offense, and he does a lot of really interesting things. He incorporates a lot of pro concepts, and I thought he did a really good job of attacking TCU where they're a little bit vulnerable. TCU is a pretty fast defense, and they like to be very aggressive in their pursuit, and he was able to use that against them with a lot of screens, some misdirection, hitting the perimeter, and using Stetson Bennett's running capabilities, which is something that Michigan had some success with at the end of the Fiesta Bowl, but it's something that they went to a little bit too late in that bowl game for Georgia. Stetson Bennett's feet were an asset early on, and that really helped what was already a very effective Georgia running game that just added another element that TCU was not capable of stopping. But after the first series, it was pretty evident that TCU had no answer for this Georgia offense. In many ways, this game kind of looked like men against boys. The last thing I want to touch on with the Georgia offense is the fact that they were very deliberate in targeting and getting the ball to Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers, arguably the best player in college football when you look at a player at their position group. I'm not sure there's anyone as dominant as Brock Bowers is at the tight end position, but in the Peach Bowl against Ohio State, he kind of got forgotten a little bit. He made some big plays, but he wasn't targeted as much as they probably needed to. In this game, they made sure to give Brock Bowers his touches. He was a feature in this offense early and often, and he had a dominant performance like most of the Georgia offensive players, or defensive players for that matter. And Brock Bowers and this Georgia offense was being so effective that it allowed some other guys to be very productive as well. Vlad McCaughey, who is a great example of how Georgia not only recruits at an elite level, but they also develop even some of these under-recruited guys. McCaughey, he had a really big day. He was running wide open at times, and he was just another threat and weapon for this Georgia offense against the TCU defense. All around, just an emphatic victory by Georgia, topping off a truly special two-year run from the Georgia Bulldogs, winning back-to-back national championships and only having one loss. Georgia, I think, pretty clearly is the preeminent program in college football, and just what Kirby Smart has done just is truly impressive. He took over a program that was very good under Mark Richt. Mark Richt had done a lot of great things at Georgia, but he was just not able to ever climb the mountaintop and get this Georgia team over the top. But Kirby Smart, very early on, was able to elevate this Georgia program. Remember, he played for his first national championship, or at least in his first championship game, back in his second season. Georgia, of course, came up just a little bit short in that game, losing in overtime for a long time at this Georgia team before last season under Kirby Smart. They were a really good, or even great, program, just didn't quite win the national championship or make it back to the playoff, but these last 2 years they finally have finished the deal, and now they are firmly the kings of college football. In many ways, this team reminds me of those early Nick Saban Alabama football teams, just in their strengths, being at the line of scrimmage, being elite defensively. And we should remember that Kirby Smart was Nick Saban's defensive coordinator at Alabama until he took the Georgia job in 2016. So Kirby Kirby Smart's fingerprint, certainly on those Alabama teams. And Kirby Smart took that blueprint and he moved it over to Athens, and Georgia now is reaping the benefits. They are a recruiting giant. He stacks not just top five classes, but top three recruiting classes on top of each other. And then he also develops them. And you can see that with some of the lesser recruited guys like Ladd McCaughey or a Stetson Bennett, who was a walk-on and has turned into one of the best quarterbacks in Georgia football history. This is a program that has done everything right, from recruiting to their infrastructure behind the scenes, their coaching hires, and their development, both of five-star all the way down to three-star prospects. They have been the model of college football, and they are not going anywhere. This is a program that is here to stay, and it's just very impressive what Kirby Smart has done. Very difficult to win a national championship anywhere, and even more difficult, you could argue, to go back-to-back, something we had not seen in the playoff era, and something that we only saw once in the BCS. So Kirby Smart, he has at this point in time surpassed Alabama. Doesn't mean Alabama won't get back to the mountaintop, or that anyone else won't supplant Georgia, at least for a period of time. For right now, Georgia is clearly the program in college football, and it's going to be very difficult to knock them off of that pedestal. So certainly Georgia deserves a lot of praise, and all the congratulations, of course, go to Georgia and that team, the coaching staff, and the fan base. Obviously a great time to be a Georgia Bulldog. Before we turn to page on this season and a national championship game, I do certainly want to give credit to TCU. They've come under a lot of heat for being destroyed like they were against Georgia. But remember, this is a team that played a really good season. They earned their way to the college football playoff, and then in the playoff, they won in order to go to the national championship. So this isn't something that was just gifted to them. They had to earn their way to the playoff and then to the national championship game. It was truly a special, magical season for TCU. But as we were saying all season long, really, and when the lead up to the college football playoff, if you recall, we did say that we thought Georgia was the team to beat and that they might run away with this thing. And that's certainly what happened in a national championship game. TCU, a really good team who had a great season, but they are just nowhere close to Georgia. And when you look at the recruiting and the rosters, it really isn't a surprise that Georgia is this far ahead of TCU. I do think TCU didn't particularly play a great game. I think they were a little bit starstruck by the moment and by their opponent. And I think the fact that Georgia came out so quickly and put this game out of hand, it kind of led to TCU playing a pretty poor game. Even in that first drive, TCU just didn't seem comfortable. They actually had some opportunities down the field that they weren't able to hit on. So TCU didn't necessarily have to get beat this badly, but it doesn't take away what they did this season. And who knows who is the second best team in college football? I don't think there's really a clear linear separation between a lot of these teams, besides, of course, Georgia, who is clearly the best team in the nation. But TCU did defeat Michigan, who handily beat Ohio State. Ohio State turned around and gave Georgia their toughest game all season long. So when you are comparing a lot of these other teams, I don't think there is really a clear number two or a clear separation between a lot of them. A lot of that is going to depend upon the setting, who's the home team, who prepared better in the week leading up to the game. So I think that kind of helps explain why TCU is able to beat a team like Michigan, but then play so poorly and be destroyed so thoroughly by Georgia, while Ohio State, who was dominated by Michigan, goes on to play very well in, albeit a losing effort, against Georgia. A lot of these teams match up differently. One team might match up better against, say, Michigan versus Ohio State or TCU, and I think all of those matchups also should be taken into account. There just isn't, in some cases, a clear dividing line between a lot of these teams, which is why it needs to be settled on the field. But one thing is clear, and that is Georgia has separated from the college football world. Congratulations to them. And just one final point before we close the book on Georgia, and that is the fact that this Georgia team, on paper, They are one of the best teams in the country when you look at their recruiting. But as we said earlier, we really have to give them tons of credit for getting the most out of that roster. The two teams that are in the same stratosphere as Georgia, just from a roster and talent perspective, are Ohio State and Alabama. And while both of those teams had very good seasons this year, Ohio State, after all, did make the playoff. Both of those teams did not come close to what Georgia achieved. Alabama went 11-2, didn't make the SEC championship game or the playoff. Ohio State, they made the playoff but lost in the semifinal, and they lost to the two best teams they played this season, and the two teams that were, from a talent perspective, the closest to Ohio State. Just because you have a really talented roster doesn't guarantee you anything. You still have to do something with it. You have to make the most out of your situation, and you have to develop those players, and that's something Georgia and the staff has been able to do. So a terrific season from Georgia, 15-0. They repeat as national champions. Hard to really put together a better season than what the Bulldogs did this year. We are going to move on now to the FCS championship game, as South Dakota State defeated North Dakota State 45-31. With the victory, the Jackrabbits win their first ever FCS championship. And this is something kind of like Georgia's national championship last year that was a long time in the making. South Dakota State has for some time now been one of the better programs at the FCS level, but they couldn't quite get over the hump and win the national championship. They came very close in the spring season of 2020 that was delayed due to COVID, losing the national championship to Sam Houston. This year, though, they finished the deal. And a season that, kind of like Georgia, it's hard to get a better season than what South Dakota State did at the FCS level. I guess the only way it could have been better is if they had defeated Iowa in week one, but still they beat an Iowa team that, despite that team's flaws, they still went 8-5 as a Big Ten team. South Dakota State went into Iowa City in week one, lost a really close game, 7-3. You can maybe say they outplayed Iowa for parts of the game, but kept Iowa out of the end zone. And then from that point on, South Dakota State did not lose again. They went unbeaten in FCS play, won the Missouri Valley Conference, finished number one in the rankings, got the number one seed, and then go on to win the national championship, defeating teams in the playoff like Holy Cross, Montana State, and of course, North Dakota State, who they just defeated now for the second time this season, the first time they won in the Fargo Dome. With the victory over the Bison, the Jackrabbits have now won four straight against North Dakota State, the team that has dominated FCS football for the better part of a decade, or a little over a decade now. So South Dakota State has put together a tremendous season, very impressive what they've done. And kind of like Georgia, the way they've done it is by winning in the trenches. It doesn't matter what level of football you are. If you are not elite at the line of scrimmage, you are not going to win a championship, or at least you are limited in how far you can get. You're not going to win something like the national championship. And South Dakota State, against one of the more physical teams at the FCS level, they really dominated the Bison physically. South Dakota State was able to gas the NDSU defensive front. They ran for a lot of yards, and they were able to really take this game over in the second quarter. Then in the second half, they were able to just continue to keep NDSU at bay, able to run out the clock and continue to add. I believe they scored 7 points in each quarter in the second half, so they were able to kind of sit on their lead while continuing to control the game. Being great at the line of scrimmage certainly is nothing new for South Dakota State, but the way they were able to show their dominance in this postseason was really striking to me. Montana State had been averaging over 8 yards to carry on the ground, and this SDSU front was able to shut them down. And then in the national championship game against the premier program in FCS football, SDSU was able to once again show off their dominance, particularly with their offensive line. But the Jackrabbit defensive line certainly did their part in this game as well, able to go toe-to-toe with what had been considered the best offensive line in FCS football, and they only gave up 21 points in those four quarters. I think you could probably say that the best offensive line in the FCS actually resides in Brookings, South Dakota, rather than Fargo, North Dakota. So a truly impressive performance once again. It is not every day you see an FCS school defeat North Dakota State on the line of scrimmage, but South Dakota State clearly did that in the national championship game, and truly a moment of triumph for this Jackrabbit program, which has been at the FCS level since 2004, making the jump up from Division 2, and coach John Stieglmeyer, who has been at SDSU since 1988 and a head coach since 1997. He, after all the success he has enjoyed in building this program, he finally now wins the national championship, and doing it against their main rival, North Dakota State, I'm sure is that much sweeter. So a great moment for this program and a really impressive season for the Jackrabbits. All the credit in the world certainly belongs to them and what they were able to accomplish in this game as well as the entire season. South Dakota State, they were the best team all year long, and they proved that in the playoffs and in the championship game against North Dakota State. So that does it for the 2022 college football season. Your national champion of the FBS level are the Georgia Bulldogs, and of course South Dakota State at the FCS level. We want to thank everyone who was with us for season 1 of the Ultimate College Football Podcast, and we do ask you to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Because of you guys, we are in the top 50% of podcasts, which sounds a lot more impressive than what it actually is, but still we're very grateful for that, and that's because of our audience. So we greatly appreciate you guys, and we would ask you to continue to support us, do review us or give us ratings wherever you find your podcast, and do tell your sports friends and especially your college football friends to give us a listen. We're trying to continually grow the show, so we are very appreciative of all of you guys. Since season 1 of the Ultimate College Football Podcast is in the books, just to give you a lookout for what our plans are with the show, we of course are going to, once the 2023 season begins, we're going to continue the format that we have done this year of giving you preview episodes and then recap episodes for each weekend of college football. And then of course in the summer we're going to have our preview episodes as we preview the 10 FBS conferences as well as the independent schools at the FBS level. So starting again in the summer, we're going to have our bi-weekly episode releases. In the time between then, I'm not totally for sure what it's going to look like. It is very possible that we're not going to have episodes until the summer where there is more to talk about, but it is possible that we could have some episodes that are dropped in the off season leading up to the summer and our preview of the 2023 season. So make sure you do subscribe so that you don't miss any of these episodes. If anything, of course, major happens in the college football world, we are going to talk about it. So we'll have some potentially special episodes released in the off season. And we do have an idea for maybe an off season series that will maybe be released weekly or monthly. We'll see what exactly the offseason looks like for us, but at the very latest, we'll have shows resume in the summer. So make sure you subscribe, and we will see you next time on the Ultimate College Football Podcast.